Everything has its basic components. That's why I'm trying to say things aren't complex. They're simple, even really complex things.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
Hi, I'm Heaton. I'm here with Steli, and today we're going to talk about simplifying complexity and the idea that when you're starting a business or running a business or even an executive or leader in a company or even working in a small business, there's a lot of complex things that you have to deal with or things that you think are complex. We wanted to talk a little bit about how you can strategies, tactics, thinking around how to simplify these things that you might think are complex at first.
Yeah, the reason why we chose this topic, just a minute ago, basically, Heaton scrolled through a list of ideas for topics to talk about, and I gravitated toward the simplifying the complexity topic, and I'll tell you why, Heaton. Just this week, I gave a group of people in the team a goal to improve on a certain part of our business, and it was funny to observe how they took that challenge. And they thought briefly about like potential solutions. And in my mind, very hastily, they chose one of these solutions and they started diving into it in so much detail that the task became so complex that they just were totally lost. And like a day or two later, when we reconvened for them to present me what they had like 10 pages of like metrics and data and numbers, and they still didn't know what the fuck they were doing or how to solve the problem. And it made me realize, and I had to work with them and coach them, how easy it is for all of us, but for most people, to jump into too many details too fast versus going through a format that I typically use, which is staying as simple as possible and really like high level at first. What are all the possible solutions? And if I can come up with three or four possible solutions, I'm going to resist the urge to jump into choosing one immediately and going into more and more detail and depth, but like try to stay on that high level for a while until I've thought it through and until I believe I now know on a very high level why I would choose strategy, you know, A, and then go just one level below that in complexity and stay there for a little bit, and then one level there in complexity and stay there for a little bit, and then also, once you've chosen, like, this is the new way of how we're going to attack this problem. This was the second thing that we did that I had to coach this group with, was that once they, with my help, got to a solution that was less crazy and complex and detailed, I gave them the task to now think about a rollout plan. Like, how are we going to try to make these changes happen? And again, they were, in my mind, too ambitious, because you could just tell, like, when they were finished with outlining the plan, I wouldn't be able to tell them what we're doing. And I was feeling overwhelmed just hearing it. So I told them, listen, do you think you can execute on all these fucking changes and still be productive? And also, there's so many things we don't know once we make even just one of these changes. We don't know about the impact of these changes. That how are you going to manage that level of complexity? And we had to really I had to reel them in back to something that seemed too simple for them and was just like one tiny change out of the 10 we wanted to make. And we made a plan where it was like, you make that one change for a week or two, you track what's happening. And then once we confirm that that, you know, is working, we'll add the second change to it. So really staying on a high level and going step by step. And then even when you think about executing, really thinking about how can we eliminate complexity? How can we do one little thing at a time to be able to manage it and be aware of what's working or not? That's been kind of the theme of the week. So when you said simplifying complexity, it was like, yes, let's talk about that. That's been a topic at our company at CloseEye right now. So tell me a little bit about your framework and how do you think about like simplifying things that are very complex?
Yeah, I guess I like to start with the notion that nothing is complex.
Ooh,
so already kind of starting with that notion will help, I think, somebody's thinking. I'm going to riff off your example, though, because I think your example is interesting where you are communicating with other people on your team about an approach, really, that you want to take with something, right? It might not be like you have all the ideas, but the way I would reframe that is something that studying lean startup and customer development, a lot of Steve Blank's work and Eric Ries's work, I think I've internalized this, but I would say that when I, if I were in that situation of knowing that a change needed to be made in a process, because that's what it sounds like you guys were doing, it's likely you're coming in with an idea of what the problem is. And so what I learned from the lean startup methodology and just, you know, even studying lean production and all that from Toyota is that there's a big difference between problem and solution. So if you can just divide it up and say, like, let's say you go to the team and say, hey, I think we have a problem with X, or I know we have a problem with X. Here's the data I have to prove that it's a problem. I might start with just like, what do you guys think? What do we not know about this? So can we just start by asking more questions about that problem and sort of prioritizing the information around that problem, the data, before we even get into solution land? And what that does is it really crystallizes the problem, right? And usually any problem, there's probably at least three or four questions that can be answered that you don't have the answer to when you identify the problem. And then from there, I think dividing that scenario of focusing on the problem and getting aligned around the problem is probably the thing that helps manage a lot of complexity when you're communicating to other people. And then around the solution side, which it seemed like you had a way you wanted to do it and the team didn't do it that way, basically, but you might not have known what way you wanted in the beginning. I know how that is. hindsight's really 20/20. And so the thing I would do there is I'd actually call out a meeting and say, this is a brainstorm meeting. We've identified the problem. Great. I've communicated it. Everyone agrees on it. We have some more questions about it. Awesome. Maybe we need to go answer those questions first and then have a brainstorm meeting where specifically like no idea is dumb, no idea is bad, and none of these ideas matter in terms of whether we're going to do them or not. We just need all the ideas. And so in that meeting, first half of it, I'd do all the ideas, get everyone's ideas on the table on how to solve that problem. And then the second half of the meeting, I'd be like, all right, what are we going to do about it? With a goal of, and I think you alluded to this, but with, and you're always like this too, but with the goal of the fastest, smallest step we can take to figure out if that's the right solution, even if we do pick one.
Right.
And the whole idea of that is to avoid ever anybody getting in the weeds. So in that brainstorm meeting, it's like if someone describes their idea and then they just keep going, we stop them and say, hey, already communicated your idea. We're going to put it as an item. Let's move on to the next idea. You got another one, right? Just to keep everything. I get what you mean by the layers and the complexity. I would just say that nothing's complex. So then your framework is more like, all right, we get everyone on the same page about the problem. We brainstorm solutions and we take action. And we just do that in a really sort of fast period. But I don't think you can do that if you just have a meeting. I think you have to have a deliberate goal of each meeting or each communication. And it doesn't have to be a meeting. It can be a communication. And it tends to work out really well. But you have to break it up first, I think.
Yeah. What I love about this is that I think it's very easy to miss on the first point that you made, which is the, do we agree on the problem and understand the problem we're trying to solve? Because I think a lot of times, that's the beginning of the end in terms of trying to solve something and struggling with it and having people approaching it in ways that are creating friction is because we might not know what problem we're solving, or everybody might have a different notion of what is the problem that we're trying to solve. And we always think that there's so many things, especially when something seems to be obvious, it needs to be communicated. Like everything needs to be communicated. Are we all on the same page that this is the thing that we're solving? And this takes discipline. And this is something we didn't do in this meeting. Now in hindsight, I realize that first of all, we approached a problem that I think if we had spent a little bit more time talking about the problem, we might have uncovered that, you know, we might have uncovered things that would have made the entire process later on much simpler for everybody. And I also think that these problems, a lot of times just emotionally, maybe in the moment you see a certain set of data or something comes up and very emotionally people go, oh, we need to fix this. And it takes discipline to step back and go, wait, what are we exactly trying to fix? Why are we trying to fix this? Are we sure this is a problem? Because a lot of problems are not problems, right?
So I call what you're describing problem alignment. So I think the mistake people will make when they think about solving a problem is they jump right to solving the problem, the solution, and then they try to get their team aligned on a solution. I think it's much smarter and builds a much healthier team if you get your team aligned on the problem. Even like in general, in your own life, like if you want to change something, it's very likely what you're trying to change has something to do with a problem. So get problem alignment even yourself mentally. What's the problem? Is there more information we need to really identify, more data about the problem to really solidify our understanding of it, and then move on to solution? And here's what's funny. I think a lot of us aim for solution alignment, which is like, let's get the team aligned with this direction.
Yes.
I view it the opposite way and say, I don't care about solution alignment because I don't think I have the best ideas. But I care about problem alignment, which is, are we aligned on what the problem is? Because then what happens is, as your team tries to solve the problem, it's actually much easier to give them feedback because they're aligned on the problem. Then they try to solve it. And then you can insert your sort of opinions and your process and, you know, experiments or not or whatever. And I think that just it just flips it upside down.
I fucking love this, right? Because I think I've made this mistake way too many times in my life where I jump way too fast on solution alignment versus spending enough time on problem alignment. So I see a big opportunity here for me to think differently and communicate differently in the team. So I love that approach. And it's so obvious, but it's still something that instinctively, maybe because I'm so solution oriented, instinctively, I always just jump into the solution part.
Everyone is solution oriented, right? This is not a natural thing. I have trouble with this, but it really, the Eric Ries really inspired me on this, because one of the things that's not popular meaning it's not our vernacular right now, about what he says is basically early on in a company, you can, at least his approach that he recommended was dividing the team into problem team, solution team. So there's always a team out there seeking out problems. They're the ones doing the customer interviews, customer development, all that, and they're not coming up with a solution. And then the solution team tends to be design, engineering, and all that. They're informed with that problem. And then it just goes back and forth. So what happens is you come up with a problem, you get all the data you can on it, then you go to the solution team, they come up with a solution. After they come up with a solution, the problem team goes and puts that solution out there and finds all the problems with it, right? And so that really got me thinking about this. I think this can apply to all parts of our lives. And this is really a really easy way to simplify complexity.
I love it. All right, so let's take another thing. One of my favorite quotes of Albert Einstein's is, you know, if you can't describe a problem simply, you don't understand it yet fully, or something along those lines.
If you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it. I think
yes.
It's something that simple.
Yes. And then, ironically. And this is something that I like to use oftentimes when I talk to people, is when people talk to me, my attention span is fairly short. And when I find myself getting restless, or when I find myself asking, what the fuck are we talking about here? Or what did he just say? Instead of just ignoring that inner urge, I'll tell the person, okay, can you summarize this in a sentence to me? Yeah. Or, okay, give me the bullet points. We have X problem. And here are the three solutions, 1, 2, and 3. And I find that every time I do this and I challenge somebody to take the like 5-minute explanation of something and tell them, can you just summarize it in a sentence? Like, the problem is ... just one sentence. Or we're going to do ... in one sentence. That's the moment a lot of times where magic happens, because either they're able to simplify it, then it kind of resolves some of that feeling of overwhelmment and complexity. And they go, oh, yeah, we're just trying to do X. Oh, I get it. Yeah, let's go and do it. Or they can't, which is the moment where we all realize we're on the wrong track. I don't even want to try to understand what you just told me the last 5 minutes, because you don't know what you're doing right now, and I don't understand what you're trying to do. So let's get back to trying to understand what we're trying to accomplish. And that, like, simplifying things in a sentence or two, or summarizing it, or the example where it's like, I find myself saying this, it's so cliche, but I say, hey, imagine I'm 5 years old. Tell me this again. That framework of forcing somebody to summarize things in a very simple, very few words, a lot of times either uncovers the core kernel of the idea, which then is simple for all of us to understand and align behind, or it uncovers that we don't understand the problem or don't understand what we're trying to do. So then it's like, let's not focus on the solutions proposed. Let's focus on depthening our understanding, right? So I like that framework, and I use that a lot in a day-to-day basis. But it can be like, it's still something that I think you want to create a culture around, because nobody's beyond that. Even if I'm the person that's calling a lot of people out, I can point to, you know, 20 times in the last week alone where I could have had that somebody tell me that would have been helpful to me, right? So how do you – what other frameworks do you have? What are they complex? Are there problems that are truly complex? What if somebody's listening and saying, yeah, all that stuff is cool, but there are certain problems that are very fucking hard and very fucking complex – it could be a technical problem. It could be whatever. you can't just say everything is simple in life.
Yeah, you can. But before we get into that, I met someone yesterday at a dinner. Her name's Vanessa Hope, and she really clarified what you just said in like the most basic way possible for me. And it was just a dinner, and we were talking about content marketing. It was actually a dinner thrown by First Round Capital. And her name's Vanessa Hope. She works at Airbnb, and she's in charge of host marketing, basically, things like that, like content marketing for hosts and a lot more, but like that's the high level. And she said that when she looks for candidates, like even recruiting and stuff, and this is very related, but she looks for people that can think in lines, not in circles. And so if you're thinking in circles, that's really just like going round and round something and not really understanding it or making it really complex, that whole 5-minute explanation versus a line, which would be like a sentence, like this, then this, then this, done, yeah. Right? So that was, I think that's a good way to understand, one, people, but two, when you don't understand it and you are generally a linear person, you can think in, with a straight thought, something's wrong. And you just need to go get more data. My opinion would be if you're in that scenario where you're thinking about a circular, just some problem, you're probably just confused. And then you think it's complex and you haven't really boiled it down to what I would say are its basics. Everything has its basic components. That's why I'm trying to say things aren't complex. They're simple, even really complex things. Another example would be like, Elon Musk has a video out there about how he talks about what they call first principles.
Yeah.
I think you guys should all watch it. We'll probably link to it
yeah.
or whatever. But he talks about how they were able to read a